Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Susan. I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Thursday, April 4th, 2024. Today we are continuing reading in the Big Book, Bill's Story, page 12, the third paragraph. That statement hit me hard, ending with, I stood in the sunlight at last. Today's readers are Wendy M., who will read the text, Sherry Z, who will read A Vision for You, and Chanel is our backup. Our newcomer greeter today is Diane B, and Leslie M will share announcements. The reference numbers for Wednesday, April 3rd, 10 a.m. Eastern meeting is 21,283. And for Thursday, April 4th, 7 a.m. Eastern is 21,285. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Patty S. to please read the 12 steps of OA for us. Good morning, Patty.
Hi, this is Patty F. I'm a compulsive overeater. The 12 steps. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sat through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we try to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you.
Thank you, Patsy. And now we will ask Alex K. to please read the 12 traditions of OA for us. Thank you, Alex.
Thank you, Susan. The 12 traditions, Alex K. in California, compulsive eater recovered just for today. The 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for our membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Or each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or LA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive eater who still suffers. Six, an LA group will endorse, finance, or lend the LA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every LA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. This should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Nine, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name will never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you. Grateful to do service.
Thank you, Alex. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you please keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. Today, we will resume our study of the Big Book on page 12 in Bill's story, the third paragraph, that statement hit me hard, through the end of that paragraph where it ends, I stood in the sunlight at last. And I'll now ask Wendy M. in Colorado to please begin reading for us. Thank you, Wendy.
Yes, good morning. Wendy M., recovered in Boulder, Colorado. Thank you, Susan, for your service. Everybody on the line. That statement hit me hard. It melted the icy intellectual mountain in whose shadow I had lived and shivered many years. I stood in the sunlight at last. And first, I just want to comment on what they're referring to, the statement, why don't you choose your own conception of God? And not to be funny, but when I first heard that years ago, the first thought was, is this a trick? Like, how do I know if I'm choosing the right one? You know, like it was a game. And then the second thought, and I'm so embarrassed to share this, is don't tell me what to do, right? And so when I first heard that, I was sitting in that intellectual mountain, that icy intellectual mountain, right? Like, I don't want what you have. I'm going to be clever and ask a clever question. And then I'm going to tell you, don't tell me what to do because I'm an addict and I don't want to be told. That was the first time around. And then it says, it melted the icy intellectual mountain in whose shadow I had lived. I, first of all, come from an intellectual home, and our religion was being progressively liberal. That was our religion in my family. And I learned to use my intellect to get through life. And using my intellect to get through life is really two words, I and no. I know. I know all of it. I have no open mind. And it wasn't until this program did I learn the words, I don't know, or maybe I don't know. Maybe my mind can be open. And so that was the first thing that kept me tight and icy and I know you don't, and I'm right and you're wrong, right? That's where I came from. And then being in this program, what's happening, and here's the sunlight of the spirit. I always say, I don't know if I believe in God. That's why it was kind of confusing, conception of God. But I experience God all the time. That's how I know God exists, because I experience the sunlight of the Spirit. I'll give you an example. Simply weighing and measuring my food, right? The honesty is the sunlight of the Spirit. Here's a big one. Bringing a scale to a restaurant. That is the sunlight of the Spirit. It's saying, I don't know, I can't worry about what my friends think when I bring the scale. I can't worry about it because I want the sunlight. That's why I bring that scale. That's why I weigh and measure. or working with someone. The other day I worked with two of my 12-step sponsees for 2 hours. I can't tell you how great that made me feel. And I think it made them feel great. It was one of those God moments. I experienced God in that moment. That was the sunlight of the spirit. I come from a history.
Hi, Wendy.
Oh, thank you. My insides don't match my outsides. And now they do. That is the sunlight of the spirit. Thanks so much, Susan, for letting me share.
Thank you, Wendy M. in Boulder, Colorado, for getting us started. So before we go on, perhaps you dialed in a few minutes after we started, and I want to tell you what paragraph we are sharing on. Page 12, Bill's story, that statement hit me hard through to I stood in the sunlight at last. Okay, although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So if you would like to share, I'd like to know your first name, last initial, and where you're calling from. And it's star one to unmute. So who would like to share on this paragraph today?
Roz G.
Hi, Roz. Good morning.
Thank you.
Who would like to join Roz in this first lineup?
Janice K.
Janice, where are you calling from this morning?
Oregon.
Thank you. Anybody else like to join this first lineup? Star one to unmute.
Robin in LA.
Thank you, Robin.
Liz A., Los Angeles.
Let's keep it going. Okay, we'll pause there. So this is who we have. We have Roz G, Janice K, Robin, who will give me her last initial when she shares, but I know she's in LA, and Liz A. So will everyone other than Roz G please mute themselves? And Roz, please share with us your thoughts on this paragraph. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. My name is Roz G, recovered compulsive overeater. I'm in Palmdale, California, which is in the county of Los Angeles, and I'm in my backyard watering my garden right now, and I'm standing in the sunlight, and it's absolutely gorgeous and beautiful and peaceful, and I came into Overeaters Anonymous in a religious way. I mean, I don't mean in a religious way, but I always had a religion, and I belonged to a kind of a cultish type of a church, where it was just it consumed my whole life. It was abusive in some ways, and that was the place that I practiced my eating disorder the most. And I used to pray and ask God to remove the calories, or God, please let this food nourish my body. And you know, and I was eating, you know, casseroles and cake and cookies, as many helpings as I wanted, you know, an extra helping of breakfast or two breakfasts, two or three cans of pop at dinner, and asking God to remove the calories. And it never worked. And I'm very grateful for, you know, the churches I went to in the past. I don't today. I have another one that I go to. But I'm so grateful that this, the 12 steps and step two, especially with a sponsor, and, you know, and I got together and we talked about attributes. What do I need God to be so that I have an understanding of what I need God to be for me? And I need God to be kind and loving and caring and concerned and curious about me, and have a sense of humor, and a matchmaker, and a shiner of light for me. I need God to be a coach and a teacher and an encourager. And when I pray and breathe in and breathe out and meditate on those attributes and try to live them out, which I don't do all so perfectly, but I try,
it works. It really does. And so I do have the God of my understanding. You know, my God is, of course, from the Bible and Scripture, but I had to use these 12 steps in order to live that out, because otherwise I would have continued asking God to remove the calories and it would have never worked. So thank you, God, for the sunrise this morning and for the beautiful day today. I pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Ros G in California. Next up, we have Janice K in Oregon. Good morning, Janice.
Thank you. This is Janice K in Oregon. All I can say is, you know, the journey comes to each of us somewhat differently. And the paths we take are so close together and so parallel that occasionally we do share intersections. And the signpost you see may be marked in a different language or use different words or a different script, but it's the same intersection that I reach. So I understand the part about the icy intellectual mountain. My home was not progressively liberal. They were aggressively, professionally conservative. And I had to get over the God I was indoctrinated with as a child. And I knew when I stood in the sunlight, I could not tell you why I knew, but I knew when I was in the sunlight. And I think that the direction I get in this paragraph is stay in the sunlight. Whatever, I don't claim to tell God who or what he, she, it, or they is or are at this point. I just know when I'm in the sunlight, and I am immensely grateful for that reality. Sunlight cannot be contained. Sunlight cannot necessarily be driven. It can be sometimes directed. But sunlight, for the most part, is free. Following the sunlight eventually leads us to what we need, to who we need, to a higher power that can work for us. We have to give God room to grow in this program. We start one place and we finish in another. But I'm very grateful for the journey and the guidance of the steps. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you very much, Janice K. in Oregon. Next, Robin in Los Angeles, California. And if you can unmute and also give us your last initial, please, Robin. Thank you.
Hi, good morning. This is Robin A. in Los Angeles. I am so grateful to be on this part and listening every day with this really profound experience that he's having. And this is always my favorite whenever I hear a speaker and they talk about their bottom and then they talk about their experience of experiencing God and that shift, that kind of spiritual awakening that they have. And it always makes me cry. It always gets me choked up, because it brings me right back to the moment in 12 step when I was having those spiritual experiences. And I'm having them right now. I'm very new, but yesterday was just this like moment after moment of God shots. Like Harlan talks about, I'm listening a lot to his podcast, Is It Odd or Is It God? And it's like just the timing of everything. And I just realized that this is how life is supposed to be. It's supposed to be just this constant interaction with my higher power and, you know, going with the flow of life rather than struggling continuously all the time. And I realized that, like, I'm finally making higher power in, you know, for today or in certain moments, higher power rather than money, food, whatever it is. And to be able to have these interactions and feel the presence. For me, my higher power is the feeling. I can't intellectualize something. It's just not something I can do. It's an experience. And the person that I, you know, related to most is a person that used to speak at meetings and talk about a God of my misunderstanding, because I can't try and intellectualize this thing that's much bigger than me. But to have that feeling within my body is powerful. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Robin A. in Los Angeles. And next, we will stay with the theme in Los Angeles and go to Liz A. Liz, please unmute and join us. Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Liz A., and I am a recovered for today compulsive overeater. Thank you, Susan, so much for leading this meeting and everyone who's participating. Let's see. Well, what I knew for sure is that the God of the Bible was made up by men, and how dare they tell me what to think. So I lived with that for a long time. And then, you know, I was a searcher. I was looking for something, and I used to connect with nature. And then my God became this just like Bill, creative intelligence, universal mind. That was what I could believe in. And it wasn't until I came to 12-step groups that I started reading and looking for something else, something I could relate to. And I was reading an Emmett Fox book. Sorry if I'm mentioning something I shouldn't, but I was reading this book, and it talked about Our Father and that prayer. And he talked about how much more would a God love his children that our Father would love us. So if our Father wants to protect and care and love us, God is omniscient, omnipotent, and he can definitely take care of me. And I started with that. And then I remembered that when I was little, my dad used to, when I walked with him, he would put his index finger out for me to grab. And that's how I would walk. And I started to do that with God. I imagined this finger that I would hold on to and go into situations with. And the most incredible things happened. I had to go to this court, case, and it turned out to be miraculous. And then my husband was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer, and I held on to God's index finger, and guess what? It was a misdiagnosis after doing a surgery. Everything is just miraculous. And I get to be, if God is the lantern, I get to walk with that lantern and bring God's light into this world. And that's my role. And it's just so unbelievable to me that I finally have a God that really, truly takes care of me and that wants
that's
me
time. Thank you.
To be a light. And with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Liz A. in California. And if you joined us a little, we are in Bill's story, page 12. That statement hit me hard through to I stood in the sunlight at last. So as a reminder, we ask everyone that they limit their sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share on this paragraph next?
Karen Casey in Missouri.
Karen Casey, and then hold on one second. I heard somebody from Missouri but didn't catch their name.
That was Karen Casey. You did get my name.
Oh, that was okay, great. Thank you. Somebody talked over you, so it got confusing. Okay, who is after Karen?
Rita Q.
Rita Q, thank you.
Luann C.
Luann, thank you.
Deb E. in Israel.
Hi, Deb. Good morning.
Hi.
Anybody else like to join this group? Going once, going twice. All right. Well, everybody other than Karen in Missouri, please mute yourselves. And Karen, please join us and share on this paragraph.
Thank you, Susan. This is Karen KZ in Missouri, gratefully recovered. The part that stood out for me, it melted the icy intellectual mountain in whose shadow I had lived and shivered. And I think of all the people who are stuck with a punishing God or having been punished because of religion and because of God that really struggle to really see that the God of many of our understandings is a God who's loving and kind and encourages and just lifts us up and just blesses us all the time. And so I often think for people, what can be done is to borrow the people who have that conception of God and try that one out and see how much happier and more wonderful life is. Because for me, the difference for me in this recovered state than it was before is that I really am seeing. I am seeing, but first of all, I'm looking far in finding God and good in every person, every situation, every second, because when I'm looking for that and I'm trusting that I'm being loved and cared for, sometimes relating to a father is hard for me, and I think it's hard for some other people. If we didn't have loving parents who we feel that gentle, kind guidance from, when people say father, it's like, ooh. So for me, it's like getting out of whatever we experienced and being aware that there is a loving, encouraging, supportive power that's actually cheering us on and actually providing good for us if we just look for it and find it. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Karen KZ in Missouri. And now we're going to go to Manchester in the UK. Good morning, Rita Q. Rita, star one to unmute.
Oh, hi. Can I be heard? Sorry.
You can be, yes.
Brilliant. Hi. Good morning. I'm sorry. I must have remuted myself. My name is Rita Q, recovered, not cured, compulsive overeater. Thank you to Susan, everybody giving service. Short but sweet. You know, for me, that statement hit me hard. You know, when I came in, I had to unlearn the God of my understanding because what I knew was a religious-based fear and damnation God that I grew up with. I grew up in Northern Ireland during the Troubles, so, you know, people were killing each other because of what I perceived to be people were the wrong flavour of God, you know. So I came to England and to university, and it was like I had left all that behind. So there was definitely an icy intellectual mountain that had formed, you know, and when I came into OA, it was like, okay, so I've got to go back to God again. And it is a faith God that I have, but now I have a relationship. I have a relationship with my higher power, and it's somebody I rely on fully, and that's a big difference. It tells us in the prefaces, you know, that although we could accept the tenets of the Oxford group, you have to be fully reliant on God, and that's the difference for me now, that I'm fully reliant on my higher power. And that's where the sunlight is, because it's night and day for me. When I'm in my own will, it's cold and lonely and it's very dark before the dawn. And when I'm sitting with God and taking the hand of God, I'm sat in the sunlight and it's lovely. But it doesn't mean I don't get things wrong. You know, my brother's here actually, and I just went out for lunch with him and it was just beautiful. We were sat in the sun. It's really warm here today. We're a freak warm day. And it was just lovely watching the barges go past. And I thought, life is really good in recovery because everything is in technicolor. And, you know, before recovery, it was still good, but it was just different. I really feel like I'm trying to be the best version of myself, and I can only do that with God's direction, and my neutrality can only be God's reality, which I love saying that, because without God I can't, and without me he won't. That's the bottom line. He just won't, because if I ignore what I need to do to stay well, you know, I'll just start going back to the things that brought me to OA, and that's not a good place for me, because I know if I ever went back into it again, I'd die, because it nearly took me down the last time in the worst relapse I've ever had. So it is a common baton particle disease, so I definitely can't fight it. I need an army, and I need somebody who's way bigger than me. So I'm just really grateful, actually. It makes me, this paragraph small, but it says a lot, because I stood in the darkness for so long, and I didn't realize how beautiful everything was, you know, when I came out into the light, and it's such a lovely place to be most of the time, because now I've got tools to help me stay in that, you know. So I just want to say, if you're new, there is hope. There is always hope. And, you know, sometimes you just have to be hopeless. Thanks a million. I'll pass. Sometimes you have to be hopeless to find hope again. And I'll pass to that. Thank you.
Thank you, Rita Q in the UK. Next, Luann C. And Luann, if you can tell us where you're calling from, please.
Thank you. Good morning. I'm Luann C. I'm in Boise, Idaho, recovered just for today. I love this passage and this whole page. I came in the OA through one of the other programs, through the kitchen door, they say. And I was told, you know, because I didn't have a definite higher power anymore. And I was told, well, what do you want that higher power to be? And in my head, I thought, oh, well, that's no good. That's just another made up thing, you know. But I, you know, was following directions. So I went home into my meditation room, and it was quite uncomfortable and quiet. And finally, I just said, I know what I want you to be. I want you to be real. And if you are real, where the hell have you been all this time? Look at this mess you've made. And I went on and on like that, just like laying out everything, you know, and pretty much expected lightning to strike from, because it was pretty irreverent. But after I was done and I got that all out, I did feel a presence that seemed to be saying, you know, where have you been? I've been here all this time. Keep talking. Let's keep talking. I've been waiting for you. And that kind of started me on the path of a relationship. And my message, if you're a newcomer, is just, if you have anger left over from a religion you were raised in, or you have doubts, or you don't quite have a sense of a higher power, just start talking. And on the other side of anger and doubt, there is a presence that has the power not only to be accessed, but to lift you out of this abyss of compulsive overeating. So I hope that for you. So thank you for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you, Luann C. in Boise, Idaho. Next up, Deb E. in Israel. Please unmute and join us. Good morning.
Hi, this is Deb E., recovered compulsive overeater in Israel. And I love the theme of this paragraph. I just keep thinking of different things to talk about. Now I think I've forgotten them all. But the first thing that came to mind, and just the comparison, I know we're talking about like a higher power and God here, but to me, it makes me think of like my will versus my higher power's will, and like my mind versus my intuition. And so the icy intellectual mountain is my will. It's all the things my brain tries to tell me to do. It's all the things it tries to convince me to do. And it's often the disease voice. Whereas the sunlight represents the freedom I get when, sorry, my voice which is gone, when I'm speaking from a place of intuition, right? When it's my intuition that's leading me. And for me, my intuition is my direct line to my higher power's direction for me. Like that is me seeking my higher power's will. And just the contrast of how when I'm in my will and I'm in like my mind leading me, some people call it like the lizard brain, then I'm kind of frozen in this state I'm locked into a certain way of thinking, and it's very limited. Whereas when I can tap into that sunlight that like melts away that icy exterior, and that freedom, when I can tap into that, then I'm tapping into that source that my higher power provides. That's just limitless. And things that like I thought were not possible are possible, like recovering from this eating disorder, you know? And there's so many different examples of that. And just this whole theme of like light and dark, I really love. How, you know, for me, the disease is all about darkness, is all about, you know, secrets happen in the dark, and only bad things can grow in the dark, right? And then when the light shines on it, it's in the light, and when things are exposed, there's just so much of that darkness just can't exist, right? And those things that like fester and grow and like try to convince me to think a certain way or do certain things just have no space when the light is shown on them. And I'm probably almost out of time, so I'll leave it at that. And thanks so much for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you, Deb E. in Israel. And as a reminder, if you came in late so you know what paragraph we're talking about, page 12, Bill's story, third paragraph, that statement hit me hard. And as you've heard everybody talk about sunlight, ends with, I stood in the light at last. So if you would like to share on this paragraph, please star one, unmute, and give me your first name, last initial, and the state you are calling from this morning. Who would like to share today? Very quiet bunch this morning. Star one to unmute. Probably have time for three or four people. I know I'm not here alone.
Moderator, I'm sorry. Could you repeat the page, please?
Yes, really? Page, hold on 1 second, everyone. Sorry. Page 12, Bill's story, third paragraph, that statement hit me hard till I stood in the sunlight at last. And then I heard a gentleman.
Joe F. from New York, please.
Thank you, Joe F. from New York. And who would like to join Joe in this round?
Diane B.
Diane, good morning. Thank you.
Polly Q.
Polly Q. Okay. I'm going to take one more name and hopefully we can get to you. Going once, going twice. All right. Would everybody other than Joe F. in New York please mute? And Joe, please come on in and join us and share your thoughts on this paragraph. Thank you.
Thank you so much, moderator. I appreciate your service. Good to be here. Standing in the sunlight at last, I'm recovering in this program by the grace of God. I think I'm about 20 days in with my abstinence. Standing in the sunlight at last to me is recognizing that one of the great gifts of recovery is the gift of self-possession. I'm much more alive today than I was in my 20s, my 30s, my 40s. I'm going to be 58 in a month, and I'm grateful to my higher power for enabling me to live more fully. And just going back again to that sense of, I think one of the greatest senses of what it means to be alive is to know that you're alive. I don't eat the way I used to, but what I do eat, I do appreciate, and I'm so much more satisfied, and it's sort of funny because it's paradoxical, because I don't think about the next meal the way I used to, and I'm more likely to count my blessings every day. I'm more likely to walk in the way of gratefulness. I'm more likely to be in a way where I can see someone struggling and see myself in that person, and recognizing that if I don't see myself in the other, I'm not looking hard enough. Another wonderful gift of program is to know that you're connected, that you're part of, we're social beings, and to be part of a group. What do we say? Addiction is isolation, and recovery is connection. I'm the fullest, truest me is me in community. There's a face-to-face meeting I go to on Mondays, and when I walk into that room, before a syllable is uttered, I'm seen, I'm heard, I'm understood. And the same thing with phone calls. When I make program calls, right from the outset, I feel understood. I feel that I'm seen. And the last thing I'll close is with this. My sponsor always tells me, if you want to hear your higher power's voice, make a program call. And I'm like, what? Yeah, if you want to hear your higher power's voice, just make a program call. And invariably,
thank you, Joe.
I will wrap it up. And that person will enable you to hear what your higher power is asking you to hear. Thank you so much for service. Have a blessed day, everyone, and I'll pass.
Lovely. Thank you, Joe F. in New York. Next, good morning to Diane B.
Good morning, Susan. This is Diane B. in New York. Gratefully recovered today. You know, that statement hit me hard. Man, truer words were never said in my experience. I'll tell you, I did not believe in God. I didn't know if there was a God, and if there was one, then I didn't believe in it. My family never talked about God because my parents didn't believe in God. Yeah, it was crazy. And I also grew up with a family where, you know, education, intellect, those were all things that were emphasized and striven. And we tried to get those things also. But once I heard this statement, why don't you choose your own conception of God? Like, the world opened up to me. I had such a hard time in program when I first started, and people kept saying, just act as if, you know, just make believe that there is one, and look for evidence, look for examples. And that's what I do today still. I always see examples. I always see evidence of this higher power that works in my life. And I will say that over my years, I've been in the rooms a long time, and over the years, just like my program has developed and matured, just like my body has matured and developed, and my mind, so has my conception of this higher power thing. And I still don't know really what it is, and I don't have a vision for it, and I'm a very visual person, and I don't have a vision for it. I just know that it's there, it's bigger than me, it could handle any problem that I have. And that works really, really well for me. So with that, I can now stand in the sunlight of the spirit, and it's really an amazing world. And things, you know, I still have problems, I still have troubles, I still have things to deal with, but I have a way that I can do it now, and I have people that support me. I have a friend who calls people her gods in skin. I call people in program and people who help me my angels, because I really believe that's what it's about. So, yeah, that statement, that's an amazing, amazing statement. So with that, I'm going to pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Diane B. in New York. And next we have Polly Q. And I didn't catch where you were calling from, Polly. So if you could share that when you start speaking. Thank you. Welcome.
Oh, thank you, moderator. This is Polly Q., recovered Northern California. This is the statement that actually, after years and years and years of the program, I still have to work every day. I mean, that's the point of those 12 steps. It's to, because I'm going to return, as I always did, to I. I just got to find the right food plan. I just got to make sure everything is okay. I just got to look at the political situation and figure which one I should, you know, follow. I just have to be a good girl. I just have to be a good girl. I just have to, I. As a human, I am conditioned to go there. And I utterly fails me, utterly, because it's going to be based on fear. Once it's I, it's fear. And fear is just built in. You know, I wish it wasn't, but it is. So I define myself always getting into that icy intellectual mountain in whose shadow I live. And the whole point for me to stay abstinent is to figure out how I can get back to the sunlight. I have to find a path whereby which I have faith in a higher power greater than the I, greater than the fear. And it's there. And it's a decision every day. And I work those steps religiously so that I can do that. The definition of that faith, that's personal. But I have to have faith in this sunlight, that it will bring me to this sunlight, because of myself, I will return to the fear. And once I return to the fear, I am on that icy intellectual mountain, and I am in the grips of another power, the fear power. I cannot live there and be abstinent. I can't. So faith, the pursuit of this sunlight, this is the gig for me today, because that is what, and I do it through the steps, through that 10, 11, 12 step now. Man, that is my religion. That is it. And then I will be guided. I will be guided in other ways to stay in that sunlight.
Time, Holly. Thank you.
That's everything. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Polly Q in Northern California. Okay. We have a minute. First voice I hear gets it.
Robin T.
Robin T, go ahead. Tell us where you're calling from. Thank you.
Hi there. Thank you, Susan. Robin T, Massachusetts, for today. This is an amazing paragraph because it hit me hard as well, because, you know, no religion was going to tell me how to behave, what to do, et cetera, et cetera. I could now conceive of what I would have God be for me. And today, God takes away my suffering over my character defects. It's transformative. My power, greater than myself, transforms me into a better person. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Perfect timing. Thank you, Robin T. in Massachusetts. And thank you to our Team Thursday for April, Wendy M., Sherry Z., Chanel T., Patty F., Alex K. Please stay on if you need a sponsor or you are an available sponsor. Diane B. will be our newcomer greeter today, and Leslie M. will share announcements. We will now close the meeting with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. I'll now invite Sherry Z. in Los Angeles, California, to please read A Vision for You for us. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Susan, and good morning, all visionaries. I'm Sherry Z., recovered in Southern California, and this is page 164, A Vision for You. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order, but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. we shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.